Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, NFL football fans. Welcome to another edition of Pure NFL here on NFLExporter.com. This is Lance Goodman, and we're going to hop right into our segment with the Indianapolis Colts, and that means our guy from ColtsMedia.com, Kevin Bowen. Kevin, how's everything going today?
Going well, Lance. How are you?
I'm doing well. So ready to get into, this Colts season. And I tell you, what a season it's been across the NFL in general. And the Colts certainly have been a major part of that as far as, disappointment with the team's record, the injuries to Andrew Luck, the, mishap on a fake punt against New England, Pep Hamilton being released. I mean, you guys are really just creating a big suspense thriller out there this season. Man, how did things go in the bye week? I guess it seemed like it couldn't come at a more timely fashion.
Yeah, no, I mean, coming off of that win over Denver, I don't think a lot of people saw that coming. Probably the best 60 minutes the Colts have played on both sides of the ball here in 2015. I think that was the game I think a lot of people thought we would see in the offseason with all the expectations for this team. And, it wasn't a quiet bye week by any means when the Andrew Luck injury news came down last Tuesday, or I guess a week and a half ago on Tuesday. And, he's out obviously 2 to 6 weeks, that lacerated kidney. So I think it was an important bye week for the Colts for their offensive staff under new coordinator Rob Chudzinski to kind of get together and kind of create their own identity for what they want here in the second half of the season. Because going into that Denver game, it was a very short week for that staff, and Chud just kind of had to put together kind of a makeshift game plan on a short week, coming off a road game and going against the league's best defense, and they executed it perfectly. So I think now you're going to see, kind of more of his imprint on the offense, and Matt Hasselbeck's going to be the one calling the shots here for the immediate future.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that bye week is something that really helps, to be able to give, like you said, Matt and the new coordinator there a chance to, at least put something concrete together and have some type of game plan instead of having to rush right in. And so in regards to Andrew Luck, I know 2 to 6 weeks, obviously that's kind of a vague window. What exactly has to happen, or where exactly does his health need to be regarding that lacerated kidney in order for him to get back on the football field?
Yeah, I think it's such an unknown because it is a kidney. I mean, this is a vital organ in your body, and it's one of those things where you can't play on a bum kidney like you would a bum ankle or, a bum shoulder or whatever. So I think that's why there's a wide range in that timetable. So he's been at practice. He's not, participating, obviously. He's not doing really any physical activity as of now. He is going to travel with the team to Atlanta. So I think all of those are good signs. The 2 week time frame will be this coming Tuesday. So I guess, next Wednesday we'll probably get our next update on him and, see if he can get out on the field and whatnot. But yeah, I think it's going to be one of those things where you can't just run him out there and have him play at 80%. I mean, this is a very, very serious injury. And it's something that, probably is going to take some time to heal.
Definitely. And I can say, I guess he's lucky. The Colts lucky he's not for the season. Wide receiver Keenan Allen for the San Diego
Correct.
Chargers, suffered that same injury and he had to hang it up for the year. So, man, we certainly wish Andrew a lot of luck out there. That's his last name. But he gets back soon. I mean, he's been an Iron Man over the first 3 years of his career. And this year, he's just flat out taking a beating, with the shoulder, with the kidney. So we certainly hope he gets back to 100% soon. With that being said, I guess, maybe it was by no coincidence that Matt Hasselbeck found himself on the football field for 2 games and 2 crucial division wins early in the season. He's got his feet a little bit wet now. And, I'm pretty sure, those 2 games, looking back in hindsight, we didn't realize it, helped him and the offense out tremendously. And the team overall, coaching staff, the whole organization, knowing that they got a veteran who can come in there and at least hold the fort down. So, here we are this week, coming off a bye week. The Falcons are So you got two fresh teams, and the Colts going down to Atlanta. Big game for both teams right now. The Colts trying to maintain first place in the AFC South Division, which is super tight. The Jaguars, the Texans breathing down their neck. But they're going to be playing an Atlanta team that should have a sense of urgency and tends to play much better in the Georgia Dome. The Falcons dropping three out of their last four. They're looking to kind of clean their act up. Wild card race starting to get tight out there in the NFC. What's the mindset of the team going down to Atlanta in a week in the game that is very important for both teams?
I think the biggest thing now coming out of the bye week, and you know, you got these final seven games, is can you take your act on the road? I mean, three of the next four are on the road for the Colts, and I think this is going to be one of those things where if you want to make any run in January, I know it's probably a bit premature to talk about January, but you know, the Colts do control their own destiny right now in the AFC South. You know, you're going to have to go on the road after the wild card round. So I think it's now, you know, can you take what you did against Denver and translate that away from Lucas Oil Stadium? You know, you touched on it earlier about what Matt Hasselbeck did in those two starts earlier this year, and he wasn't 100%, you know, in those two starts. You know, everyone knows how sick he was in those two games, and for him to have played as really as flawlessly as he did, not ball over at over 140 snaps, you know, that's obviously the same recipe that the Colts need on the road. I expect a heavy dose of Frank Gore. I think he had 39 carries in those two games when Matt was the quarterback. So I think that'll transfer over to Sunday as well. I know Atlanta's run defense is very good. And I think Sunday's kind of a matchup of two unknowns. It's two teams that if the playoffs started today, they'd both be in it. But, you know, which Atlanta team is for real? The one we saw at the start of the year, you know, that beat some of those NFC East teams, or is it the team that we've seen lose three or four and the only one in that stretch being over Tennessee? And then who is this Colts team, you know? Is it going to be that team that we saw play Denver, or is it the team that we saw start the year? So a lot of intriguing storylines for the 1 o'clock kick tomorrow at the Georgia Dome.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, we've talked about it throughout the season. I think they found a great balance with Frank Gore, not overworking him, being able to kind of, you know, keep him in that 15 to 20 carry range. And to be honest, he's had a really nice season. I mean, I think if it weren't for some, which we acknowledged early on, you know, over the first like month, he had about a good, you know, maybe five or six, you know, 15 to 25 yard runs called back because of penalties. And then he had a couple fumbles, unfortunate fumbles inside the 5 yard line. One, it was going to be a touchdown for sure. So I think all things considered, Frank Gore has been a very nice pickup for the Colts. He's doing exactly what they want him to. And, you know, here we are getting late in the season. I think this is a place where we'll see him earn his money and really earn his value. Like you said, with Luck being out, they can lean on the run a little more. A tough guy like Frank Gore, a veteran, he can definitely get the job done. Would you say this is the healthiest that the offense has been this year? I know that Dwayne Allen has fought off some injuries. You know, want to check on his eye situation. I know he had to mix up with Tlaib. And then also, you know, we didn't even think T.Y. Hilton was going to play in that last game against Denver. So the bye week again for him. But, you know, would you say this is the healthiest that the Colts, you know, Andre Johnson, Moncrief, you know, before it was taking a complete team effort to get those wins. I'm quite sure they want to use that formula again. We've even got Ahmad Bradshaw back in the lineup. Do the Colts offense feel comfortable, you know, with the variety of weapons that Hasselbeck does have at his disposal?
Yeah, I think this is the healthiest the offense has been in a while. And I don't think that's too much of a worry. You know, you got those skill guys healthy. The old line, they can start to gel together. This will probably be their third straight week starting together. I think the big thing is just the health on the other side of the football. That's where you're really banged up. You know, Henry Anderson, who has been playing very well as a rookie defensive end, the third-round pick, he went on injured reserve after that Denver game. And that's a significant, significant loss for this Colts team. And then you look in the secondary, they'll be without Mike Adams tomorrow. Kind of the quarterback of the secondary, leads the NFL in picks this year. No player has more picks than he does in the last two seasons. So that's a big loss when you're facing Julio Jones, Devontae Freeman and company. So, yeah, the Colts are healthy on the offensive side of the ball, but there are some key injuries on the other side of the ball that I think will factor.
Definitely. So when you look at, you know, Indianapolis matching up against Atlanta, and we'll even tie in Tampa Bay in week two, because I think you face two offenses that are somewhat similar. I know for both Tampa Bay and Atlanta this week, you know, Julio Jones, you know, right up there along with Antonio Brown, pressing for the best wide receiver in the NFL. Seen quite a bit of Onta Davis. He's his sleepless nights this week. Very funny as he's having dreams and nightmares about Julio. So getting prepared for that challenge. And then the following week, a guy not as fast vertically, but certainly the physical specimen in Mike Evans. We know that Matt Ryan's a little bit more, well, not a little bit more, he's much more of an established quarterback than Jameis Winston in his rookie year. But the running backs, you know, similar styles, short guys, real shifty, higher runners between the tackles, can certainly come out of the backfield and be a threat as well. When you talk about Devonta Freeman, his breakout year, Doug Martin, he's back on track. What's the defensive mindset in these two football games facing some offenses that, you know, present some, you know, kind of similar things that they're bringing to the table as far as their top skill position players?
Yeah, I mean, the Colts D played tremendous against Denver. I mean, held Ronnie Hillman and C.J. Anderson, I think, combined like 25 yards rushing. And the defense really played pretty well in that game. I don't think the final score was as indicative of what the, how that unit played. They gave up a few big plays, and that's got to remain a priority here in the second half of the season. But like you said, Vontae Davis is going to be on that shadow role of Julio Jones. I mean, it's remarkable the numbers that Julio and Antonio Brown are putting up this year. You know, they're putting up MVP-like numbers, and that's saying something for a receiver to do that. And then at the same time, to do it with Tom Brady in the year that he's having. So very impressive year for Julio, and Devontae Freeman has probably been the surprise, you know, of the 2015 season around the NFL. So the Colts are going to have their hands full, and you know, the Anderson injury was huge because he was a guy that was really helping an improved defensive front. The Colts' run defense has been better this year. And they lost Arthur Jones back in preseason as well. So now you're down pretty much two significant contributors on that defensive line. So I expect Atlanta definitely to run the football. I think establish Freeman a little bit and then take their shots with Julio. So we haven't seen Vontae in a shadow role since really week one against Sammy Watkins. And he was tremendous against Watkins. Watkins only had no catches in that game. So it'll be interesting to see how he matches up because, you know, I don't think there's anyone playing better at the receiver position in the NFC right now than Julio Jones.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. And, man, I think that one is going to really be about the Colts withstanding an early storm. I've been to the Georgia Dome, used to live in Atlanta, and I can tell you when they get off to fast starts down there, it can really get chaotic. So I think that's going to be the biggest thing for Indianapolis is just, you know, trying to stave off any initial storms. Again, the Falcons have been playing really slow. I know they want to get back on track. And, man, I think this is a game that if the Colts can kind of play disciplined enough and hang in there long enough, they'll certainly have a outside shot, but not be favored. Regardless of what happens there, and barring no setbacks or injuries, big time injuries that happen this week, they'll be again home the following week against another NFC South team that is going to present some similar problems and probably a little bit better of a defense when you think about Lovie Smith and the great job that he's doing with his unit. We know that he's a defensive mastermind. How do you see the Colts matching up with what the Buccaneers are bringing to the table right now? You know, they're a team that's really sneaky, and man, if you sleep on them, they can certainly knock you off on a bad day, as we've seen evidence by them going out to Atlanta a couple weeks ago and getting a huge victory.
No, definitely. I think that's going to be something that could be very interesting to see, you know, where kind of that wild card in the NFC goes, because Tampa Bay is trying to fight for a spot in that. And, you know, I think Atlanta and Seattle, you know, would probably be kind of two of your favorites. Minnesota, obviously, is having a great start to the year as well. But at the end of the day, it's kind of hanging in there, and they've had some sneaky wins this year, winning at Atlanta. And that's a game the Colts just have to have next week. It's, you don't have many home games down the stretch. This is your only non-AFC South home game the rest of the season when Tampa Bay comes to Lucas Oil Stadium. So that's about as close to a must-win as you can get for the Colts because, you know, like you said, the AFC South is getting very crowded. Jacksonville winning on Thursday night. Now they're just a half game back, and you know, it's probably definitely the most competitive division in the AFC. So that's going to be something to interesting to see for me, just how the Colts kind of match up against, you know, rookie quarterback in Winston and facing that Tampa 2 defense. So that'll be one that I think the Colts have to get because just one home game in the next 41 days for the Colts, and that's the only
one.
So it's something that, you know, the Colts have got to protect their home field if they want to win the AFC South for the third straight year.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that is battle tested. I mean, one thing is for sure, when the season is over, that's one thing that the Colts will be able to say that, you know, their character, their heart, you know, has been tested. And we'll certainly see what type of fortitude and, you know, the way that this team can rally around. Before we get out of here, head coach Chuck Pagano, you know, he's been certainly a leader of men over the years. And, you know, it's turmoil. You know, it happens. I mean, your last year, you're one game away from the Super Bowl. This year, the famous Jim Mora quote, playoffs. You know, that is something that you know, is the goal to even try to get in there. And so what is Chuck Pagano telling his players? You know, how's he kind of setting the tone around there as far as, you know, keeping the guys on track? And again, what I mean, it's just certainly just been a really battle tested and obstacle filled season.
Yeah, I think the big thing for him is he's trying to reiterate that all the goals are still there. Obviously, the AFC South has benefited from that, that there's a reason that 4-5 right now, you're still leading your division. I think he's trying to reiterate to the guys that, you know, through all the ups and downs, through all the adversity this team has had this year, everything is still out in front of them. If they can just get hot down the stretch, you know, it seems like every year some team gets hot late and is able to transfer that into January. So I think that's kind of the message that he's trying to build right now. And I think the biggest thing is that a win over Denver, you know, can that snowball, can that be a domino effect? That's going to be something that I'm going to be watching here early in the second half of the season, because that was, I think, the Colts team that we expected to see here in 2015. And, you know, they're close against New England, close against Carolina, but, you know, close doesn't count in the NFL. There are no moral victories. So finishing that job was huge. And I think if the Colts make any sort of run here the second half of the season, I think we could look back to that Denver game and be like, okay, that was the turning point.
All right. Sounds good, Kevin. Well, we're definitely going to be watching very close, certainly expecting a good game. I mean, I think that's one of the better games on the slate tomorrow. Two teams, like I said, coming off a bye week, and, you know, both teams, man, thirsty for a victory. These seasons not going the way that both of these teams had anticipated. And, man, I tell you one thing is for sure. Like I said, coming down the stretch run here, this AFC South division seems like it's going to be down to the wire and even more mysterious and intriguing than we've seen over the last couple of years. So regardless, like you said, probably not too many 4-5 teams in the league right now that have as much optimism and excitement that's got to be going on in Indianapolis. Like you said, kind of controlling their own destiny, but it's going to be a battle to the end.
Definitely, Lance. Yeah, it's one of those things where this was at the start of the season. I think anyone expected inside the Colts locker room and outside of it as well. I've seen a lot of people have pegged for the Super Bowl, but if Matt Hasselbeck, I think, can kind of keep things afloat here in the next couple of weeks, then, you know, who knows what will happen down the stretch. But certainly not going to be easy for the Colts, because if they do make it to January in the playoffs, they're going to have to take their act on the road.
For sure. All right, Kevin. Well, hey, man, thanks for joining us as always. Enjoy the trip down to Atlanta. Don't have too much fun. And we'll be looking forward to talking to you in a couple weeks. Best of luck to you guys.
Lance, have a good one.
All right, you too. All right, NFL football fans, welcome back to Pure NFL. We have to thank Kevin Bowen, our correspondent from ColtsMedia.com. You can catch him on Pure NFL on the NFL Exporter website every other week. He's been doing a great job all season, and it's going to be down in Atlanta for that Colts big tilt tomorrow. Let's run to just a quick break here. Apologize that just lost reception on our wireless network. We're going to bring in James Morris. He's our guy who covers the Cincinnati Bengals. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more Pure NFL on NFLExporter.com. All right, everyone, welcome back to Pure NFL here on NFLExporter.com. We are going into week 11 of the NFL football season, and we're going to bring in now our guy from the Cincinnati Bengals, that being James Morris. How is it going today, James?
Going good. How's it going with everybody out there?
Oh man, it's going pretty well. Can't complain this type of year out in California. To know that you know that the weather, at least during the daytime, treats you good. So no complaints there. Man, Cincinnati Bengals. The last time that me and you talked, certainly had a couple tests on their hands and were able to pass one. Not able to fare so well in the other. Man, talk to us this week. The team's going into Arizona after their first loss of the season. What was the atmosphere? What was the vibe out there? Obviously, it was the first time that Cincinnati tasted defeat this year, and I think more than anything, it was in a disappointing fashion. I don't think anybody's seen the Houston Texans out of all teams coming into Cincinnati and still in the win. And I think the fashion, maybe more than anything, is what really surprised everybody. Bengals held to a season low 6 points. Just didn't look sharp. Certainly a lot of blame was directed towards Andy Dalton, and rightfully so. But it's a team game. Tyler Eifert, Eifert had some bad drops. Obviously, A.J. Green had a horrible fumble at the end of that one when the Bengals had a chance to pull it out in the, at the end, even though it was an ugly game. Talk to me. What's the vibe around the city? And what was the talk around the Bengals facility this week? A team that kind of flew under the radar outside of the Andy Dalton incident. This is a team you really didn't hear too much this week around the NFL.
Yeah, the Bengals, they're one of those teams where, you know, they could be 8-0 and nobody's talking about them, but then they lose a game and all of a sudden everybody's jumping on them and saying how they're overrated. I think part of the problem is you can never look past any NFL team, even if it's the Browns, the Houston Texans, whoever. I mean, the Texans, they still have J.J. Watt. They still have Jonathan Joseph back there. You know, they have DeAndre Hopkins. They have playmakers on the team. And I don't know if the Bengals were looking past them and already in week 11 and they were already looking to the next victory, or if they just got caught up in one of those games where, you know, you just stall and the offense doesn't work like it's supposed to and the defense draws up the perfect plan. I think that this week it's going to be another tough matchup for them because you have the Cardinals, but then also it looks like you're going to be without Michael Johnson, without Adam Jones. You know, I mean, you have some injuries on the defense. The offense is healthy, but you do have some key injuries on defense. Carson Palmer is playing a great year, Larry Fitzgerald. So it's going to be a tough matchup for them, but it's one that they can certainly win. I think people around the city are still behind the team, you know, and I mean, hardly anybody has ever run the table in the league and gone undefeated. So, you know, it's not a major disappointment. They just have to make sure they keep their head in the game. And, you know, Tyler Eifert, he's got to haul those in. A.J. Green, you know, he knows he's got to protect the ball, and stuff happens. I mean, that's the NFL, you know, stuff happens. Even Peyton Manning this year is, you know, not Peyton Manning anymore. So any given Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just made the season more intriguing than it already was. And like you said, it's the NFL. I mean, Houston certainly came into that game kind of motivated and kind of building off the confidence. Hadn't realized it. Somebody mentioned to me this week that, you know, Houston definitely over the years, a couple playoff matchups, some familiarity with the Bengals. And, you know, maybe that helped them as far as their confidence, as far as coming out and winning that game. When you look at Cincinnati going to Arizona this week, playing Arizona Cardinals team whose confidence is sky high after they came out of Seattle with a huge victory where their offense was just on fire. And we know they're probably one of the top most balanced teams in the NFL. When you look at offensively, Carson Palmer playing at an elite level, unbelievable after him bouncing back from that ACL injury. They've got three solid running backs that they can kind of mix in, and then a plethora of weapons in the passing game. Fitzgerald, Michael Floyd, John Brown. You're seeing Gresham get into the mix a little more. Defensively, man, a lot of veterans they've got over there, guys like Lamar Woodley, Dwight Freeney, able to give effort plays, you know, mixing in and out of the lineup. Big Calais Campbell still there. And they've got a lot of young talent in that secondary. Patrick Peterson, the Honey Badger, but also guys underneath the radar, you know, Deion Buchanan, Tony Jefferson. So they're a really talented group, and they play lights out in the desert. What's the mindset for Cincinnati? How are they looking at trying to go out to Arizona and get a huge victory in prime time? You know that crowd is going to be jacked up out there.
And I think it's going to be one of those tough matchups. Like you said, Carson Palmer this year, even at his age, you know, he's playing at an elite level. And of course he's familiar with the Bengals and the organization, the crowds and the fan base. I think to go out there, they have to, you know, they have to make smart plays. They're going to have to get the run involved. You're going to have to get Jeremy Hill going. Giovanni Bernard, you have to mix them in, and then you have to take your shots downfield with AJ Green or, you know, even Eifert up the seam line. And you're just going to have to work that defense. Patterson and Tyrann Mathieu, you know, they're tough. It's a tough defense. It's not going to be one of those games where you can just kind of play pitch and catch with your wide receivers. They're going to have to drop a smart game plan, but it's going to have to be based off the run. You have to get that run going so that they respect it and they can't just sit back there and play a cloud or a cover defense on the offense. Then Bengals on defense, that's where it's going to be a little tough. They got some injuries. You know, like I said, Michael Johnson, Adam Jones, you got some guys being Leon Hall. You know, I mean, you got to really be careful because Fitzgerald's playing at a high level. Palmer, you know, you said Gresham, he's more of a blocking tight end, but he's getting involved. Then you have Brown and you have the wide receivers and they got three good running backs. I mean, they are a very balanced team, both offensively and defensively. So it's going to take a total team effort. And from Dalton, you just got to play smart. You know, Hugh Jackson's got to drop the right game plan to not have him try to thread the needle all the time. And they're going to have to rely on that run, use the pass to get them off. And then on defense, they're just going to, you know, they're going to have to rely on those second string guys that aren't used to playing and are not playing as much, playing as big of a role. And they're going to have to step up and cover some receivers and some backs and some tight ends that it's going to be tough. You know, this could be a higher scoring game than we're used to, but it's certainly one I think they can win with the right game plan because they got the talent on both sides of the field.
Definitely. I think the main thing is coming out and matching the intensity and the focus of Arizona. That crowd really gets going out there, and if they get off to a hot start, could be a lot to handle. I think more than anything, James, too, that Houston Texans game will be a game that they can learn from when they play the St. Louis Rams at home the following week. Another team, similar formula, very tough defense, not a lot of talent on offense. You know, it'll be Todd Gurley at running back instead of DeAndre Hopkins at receiver as their main weapon. But a team that, again, if you're sleeping, if you come out there and you don't execute a solid game plan and you make mistakes, you know, a team unheralded because of the offensive weapons can come out and hurt you. So hopefully that loss against the Texans at home can be a learning tool for Cincinnati moving forward.
Yeah, I think it's definitely something that they've watched film on. They're going to learn from it. They're going to see what they did wrong. You know, like you said, you're going to have Todd Gurley, who's, you know, possibly the offensive rookie of the year. The guy has just looked amazing at running back. He's, you know, a beast back there, but they don't really have a whole lot else going on offense. But for the many years, neither did the Minnesota Vikings, but Adrian Peterson was still churning out 2,000 yards, you know, 1,500 yards. And Gurley looks like the same type of running back in that same kind of mold.
Definitely.
And I think that it's a game that they have to win. They have a tough the Rams have a tough defense, but offensively, they're pretty one-dimensional, and you just have to make sure you drop the right game plan to contain Gurley. And forced him to throw to Tavon Austin or, you know, one of those other receivers who aren't quite up to the level.
Nope, I agree totally. Well, James, as always, thank you so much for joining us here on Pure NFL. Good luck to the Bengals, and we'll be looking forward to talking to you in a couple weeks. Let's see how they handle Arizona on the road and how they respond to a tough Rams team at home in Week 12.
Absolutely. Look forward to it. Hoo day.
All right. Have a good one, James.
All right. Thanks.